Isaiah 51:11.
Therefore, the kings of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore, the kings of the Lord shall return, and come with singing unto Zion.
You know, before a football game, well, they have a lot of practice. It's not just for football, but for the cheerleaders. They do a lot of practice because they know when they get out to the football game, well, they gotta really know how to cheer those guys on. And you know, we're just practicing too, because we're going home one day and we're gonna have a glory meet.
Hey,
and you know, a lot of people are not getting practice. I don't know how they're gonna do that first meeting. But a lot of people, you know, it says that therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing. Right?
Amen.
Well, how are you gonna come with singing if you haven't practiced up a little bit? And it says that there's gonna be joy, there's not gonna be any more sadness.
Amen.
But we better practice with a little joy and putting away our sadness and clapping the hands. You know, clapping the hands is scripture. You know,
amen.
That? Wow, that's the scripture. You'd be raising your hands.
Amen.
All of those things are scriptural, and we better get practice up because one day we're going to be doing that.
Amen.
And it's not going to be just for a little while, it's going to be for all eternity.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Psalm 68:4. If you got a King James, turn to it. If you don't have one, look ashamed.
Look on somebody else.
Look on somebody else.
Sing unto God and praise to His name. Sing unto God and praise to His name.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's
getting their favor. I'm getting my
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And then
25. And then 17.
Come on. 134.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
19. Psalm 19. Beginning at verse 7.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continue to be in our mouth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for the song.
My soul shall make a boast in the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, the humble shall hear
and be glad.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bernie's starting this one.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord, the humble shall hear the humble behalf. So magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my sins. I will bless the Lord at all. Continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in me. The humble shall hear their heavenly cry. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And delivered me from all my sins.
Psalm 25.
Before we go to the next one, we have a point came out in Psalm 34 there. The real blessing, if you get a blessing out of it, is all the alls.
Amen.
You ever notice all the alls in Psalm 34?
Amen. All of them.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
Amen.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue in my mouth.
Amen.
Then look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Amen.
He delivered me from all my fears. Then look at verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved
Hallelujah.
Him out of all his troubles.
Amen.
Saved him out of all his troubles. And then look at verse 17 also. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivered them out of all their troubles. All
Amen.
Their troubles. Then verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all.
Amen.
All.
Amen.
We're delivered out of,
Amen.
And we're praise and bless the Lord at all times. The Lord delivers us from all our fears, he delivers us from all our troubles, and he delivers us from all our afflictions. But then notice verse 20 also. He keepeth all his bones.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
One of them is broken.
Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 45.
You have to excuse the ones with the guitar. They've got to find it in the Bible so we can see the music.
Under the old Lord, will I lift up my soul? Under the old Lord,
under the old Lord,
will I lift up my soul? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and not my enemies triumph over me.
Yeah,
that way.
Yeah.
ashamed, and not my enemies triumph over me. Show me thy way.
Show me thy way.
Thy ways, O Lord.
Thy ways, O Lord.
Teach me thy path.
Teach me thy path.
Thy path, O Lord. O
Lord.
O my God.
O my God.
I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed and have my enemies triumph over thee.
Solomon for a while. Why don't we sing a song of Solomon?
Amen.
I'll sort of name them out for you to keep you head. We started the middle part of verse 3. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. The song of Solomon right in the middle of verse 3. And then we sing, therefore do the virgins love thee, right under it. And then the first part of verse 4, draw me, we will run after thee. And then the last part of verse 2, thy love is much better than mine. That starts it all. The middle part of verse 3, thy name is as ointment poured forth.
Amen. Lord, we love thy name.
Get your guitars ready again.
Thy name is as ointment poured forth.
Amen.
Therefore do the virgins love thee.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus.
How about Psalm? It's a new one, so why don't we sing it through twice? One kind of take a short number. Bar.
Oh, praise the Lord, morning nation, praise the holy people. For his merciful kindness, his great reward of his great reward. And in the truth of the Lord, to ever praise ye the Lord. And the truth of the Lord, to forever praise ye the Lord.
Alabada
yo, canciones todos juegos, todos alabables, porque ha engrandecido, sobre nosotros, su misericordia, y la verdad de Dios, es para siempre, aleluya, y la verdad de Dios, es para siempre, aleluya,
so we learn it. Lead us out. Come on.
Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness, his great reward, and his great reward. And the truth of the Lord, and his forever praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord to be able to sing his word.
Amen.
The blessing.
Amen.
The Lord is sure. Amen. Why is the simple?
Well, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Chariots and some in
I take it for approval.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Let's do that one more time. We go and start with verse 7, then we go back to verse 6, get down to verse 8, and go back and finish on verse 7.
Amen.
Let's try it again. Maybe we'll learn it. Amen. Some of us have sung it.
But we wouldn't let Brent lead us.
No.
What I'm saying is that's not the way we learned it.
Let's sing it.
Amen.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we were in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we were in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
never seen Exodus. Amen. The whole book.
Excellent.
Amen.
Amen.
Exodus 13. 15, 11, 13, and 17. Exodus 15, 11, 13, and 17.
Amen. Who is like unto thee?
Amen.
Who is like unto thee, Lord?
Amen.
Who is like thee?
Who is like unto thee?
Verse 11 says, who is like thee, O Lord among gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. You know, that verse reminded me of a time in my life when I was really, something happened. It was just really a big thing for me. You know, really, it was just something real hard taking. You know, I just started realizing the Lord, his things he does, they're wonderful.
Amen. Yeah.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things.
Amen.
You know, that verse just really lifted me up. It's the things he does, they're wondrous.
Amen.
You know, and I was just wondering, man, how could that happen? Why did he do it? You know, it's all in his will, how he wanted it to be done. That was just a real blessing.
Amen.
You know, this God, what they were singing about was the wonderful thing he had just done, in that he had let them cross a sea without getting wet.
Amen.
I mean, they had walked right across the Red Sea, and the water stood up on either side, and they didn't get their feet wet. And then as soon as they got across, the Lord just removed his restraining power, and all that water came back, and all of their enemies were destroyed. They didn't have to lift a sword. They didn't have to do anything. You know, that's something for us to think about today. Too many of us are involved in fighting the enemy. If we just praise the Lord, he'd take care of the enemy.
Amen.
I tell you, we do have enemies. We really do. But we ought to just let the Lord take care of the enemy. And the Bible says that they never saw an Egyptian soldier. They never, not one Egyptian soldier got out of that sea. They didn't have to fight one Egyptian soldier. The Lord took care of every one of them. And they were just singing his praise. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He fought in the middle of the wood, and then the water fell on the earth, not fish in it, and they cried out of the clothes and drums, and they appeared to be brought in the tent.
Examine.
For he know where Christ fell in with Christ.
Centurion?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He was bold when he preached.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for the boldness.
Amen.
Amen.
Talk about young and bold.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
One small verse of praise. Isaiah 43. Real small, not very big, but that's what the Lord said to his people. Isaiah 43:21. I'm going to share my time to read it. It says, these people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise.
Amen.
God knew what he was doing when he made us. He didn't just make us, he made us what he was going to do.
Amen.
Show forth his praise.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lord, we're here to show forth your praise.
Amen.
Lord, bring forth praise unto thy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, it's hard for us to imagine. It's hard for us to believe, and we don't. We sort of think of this all of us as just like a TV show. We think that, you know, we just are imagining it. But one thing you can be sure of is that what he said, when he says the Lord has spoken, and you can be sure of it, this is going to happen. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed.
Amen.
And all flesh. Yes.
Amen.
Now I can see. I can see. I can just imagine, and I know this is my imagination, but we got to come to a place where we really believe these things. I can just see all the world. One day, you know, everybody's, you know, bowing down to Darwin and Marx and who, and I don't know who all they're bowing down to and thinking that really is smart, Einstein or whoever. They're all going to look up one day and they're going to realize, man, all these nuts that are in the world, they were all right. They were absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
He is Lord.
Amen.
And he is going to reign.
Amen.
We're all going to see it together. And then it'll be too late. They'll look up and there it is. It's done. But it will be revealed. We don't see the glory of the Lord revealed right now. The glory of the Lord is not revealed. We don't really see it. We don't see, we see, you know, the stars and all that. We don't see him personally revealing his glory. But it shall be revealed.
Amen.
And even though we believe it, and we see these things as the glory of the Lord, someday all flesh, everybody on earth will see it. So someday you get to doubting and wondering, well, maybe, you know, you are going after this Christianity a little bit too hard. Maybe you have been a little bit too fanatical about this. Well, you haven't been. Matter of fact, you haven't been near fanatical.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed someday. And you're going to see it, and all flesh is going to see it at one time. And this is just as sure as anything that ever happened.
Amen.
It's just as sure because it's at the mouth of the Lord spoken.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. The Lord has spoken, he will perform.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's a word in Philippians that blesses my heart. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. By the way, is there any consolation in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of consolation in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If any comfort of love, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you found any comfort of love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies will fill you my joy, that should be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I'll tell you, brethren, the consolation of Christ, the comfort of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, the bowels and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to bring us into one mind.
Amen.
Ought to bring us into one purpose and one accord. We shouldn't be doing things for strife or vainglory, because any glory we get is vainglory. So let's say any self-glory in that. Whatever we do, we ought to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, what Billy was talking about, look down at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, speaking of Jesus Christ, giving him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
I'll tell you, there's one name that's above every other name. There's one name that ought to be exalted. There's one name that ought to be lifted up. There's one name. It's the name you were saved in. It's the name you pray in. It's the name you were baptized in. It's the name you preach in. It's the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. I had a preacher's class one night, and they were preaching, and one young man was preaching on this, and he said, you know, it's not just going to be one knee down. He said, you know what the Bible says? That every knee, they're going to have both knees down. And you know, he said, not just things in on the earth. It won't just be the saints and believers that will have both knees down. But the Bible says that every knee shall bow of things in heaven. Every angel is going to get on his knees one day. The cherubim and seraphim are going to get on their knees. And it says, things in the earth. All the college professors are going to get on their knees.
That's right.
All the drunkards down the taverns are going to get on their knees. All the prostitutes in the whorehouse are going to get on their knees. All the shoeshine boys and all the presidents and all the kings and all the congressmen, every one of them is going to get on their knees. But that's not all, my friend. It said, in things under the earth, every soul in hell is going to bow his knees, both knees.
That's right.
I want you to know, every devil down there is going to bow both knees. And Satan himself is going to bow both knees. And I want you to know something else. Something's going to come out of their mouth. They're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
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 How we love the glorious name, the name of Jesus. Tis the name above all names, far over again. As we breathe his precious name, darkness and death cannot remain. Oh, recall and get the burden of thy name. Dear Lord Jesus, with our tongue, we gladly confess thy name to the glory of the Father God above. For to us to speak thy praise is enjoyment of our day. Calling Jesus is to draw the one we love.
Isaiah chapter 50, verse 2, the third phrase. Is my hand short at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea.
Amen.
I make the rivers a wilderness.
Amen.
Their fish leave because there is no water and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. You know, God covers everything. He covers the flowers, the fields, you know, the trees, the leaves. He covers them. He knows when the trees need sunshine. He covers sunshine. He doesn't need rain. He covers them with rain. And like that really, that's why he says, is my hand shortened at all? And I can
no.
Be true and it is not.
Amen.
Now, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. You cannot be confounded by a lot of things this day and age. Now things can really go your way, but if you trust in the Lord, you can.
Amen.
You have to be strong.
Amen.
Weary and you know feeble, but you can be you know, strong and strong. You know, but then in verse 8, He is near to justify me. Who will continue? And I really got to bless you. Now the next verse. Let us stand.
Amen.
Let all of us. One of us fall. Somebody be right there. Let us all stand.
Amen.
We stand together and stand on God's promise, stand on God's word, and we'll all be strong as the body. Also in verse 9, behold, the Lord God will see that shall, or they all shall wax old as the garment, the mouth shall. Who is among you that fears the Lord?
Yeah.
Fear the Lord, like, we really supposed, if we don't do His will, then we really be trembling most of the time. I know me, I fall every day, every hour, every minute, every second. But I thank God for His mercy and His grace, and I think I know I can go.
I've been really having a blessing just in reading this track. I was just sitting in the car and I was reading, This Was Your Life. And it was a conviction flash that, you know, like, oh, Lord, I want to watch what I'm doing, you know? And in this track it says, it has a picture of this man, and he's standing there with a drink in his hand, with a vent in front of his house, and a TV, and a big house. And I said, well, say to my soul that has much good laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And it goes on, and then all of a sudden the death comes knocking at his door, and all of a sudden he's slain. And it goes on, and it's talking about he was a good man. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 23:23 and it says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And this has just been a real blessing in knowing that God is always there, and no one can hide from him, even this
Amen.
Man that was in this,
that's right.
You know, even though he had riches and he had all these good things, Lord says, you do not have everything, you don't have me.
Amen.
And he died and he was going, goes all the way through his life, and he says, oh, I can't believe this has not happened to me, is it? You know, he's talking to this angel, and says, everything has been recorded. Oh, this part that really got me, you know, it says, this was your life. It's reviewing his whole life. He goes, that's me as a baby. It goes on, it shows all the secret things he did, and lust and stuff. He goes, but Lord, no one saw me. He goes, but I saw you. You can't hide from me. And he goes, and it goes through all these things, whispering, death, lies, disobedience, parents, pride, false accusers, unmerciful, deceit, hypocrisy, whoremonger. Just goes through all these things. He's sitting there, he's sweating, going, I can't believe all this. Finally, he just goes, falls on his knees and says, I'm guilty. And then next, it shows that he's going to hell, you know, it shows all these different things. And he goes, oh, if I only would have led the life that you would have taught me to. And it just really had been a thought, oh, Lord, you know, all the things I've done, thank you for saving my soul, for forgiving those things which I've done, even though I know I'm going to have to face them in the end, and you're going to have to reveal them, you know. So thank you for forgiving me
Amen.
For all that I've done, you know. And then over in Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I praise him for seeing the good as well as evil, seeing
Amen.
For him seeing that I turn to him and that I am according to his book of life, and for all the saved people that are there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That blessing is awesome.
Amen.
Chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom's dear son,
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness. You know, I've got a lot of things to be thankful for. On the outward circumstances, looking around at this world today, the economy and just some of the things that's happened to me lately, the marriage is beautiful. I love it.
Amen.
Just a lot of things that, you know, the responsibility that goes along with it. Just the job situation that's going on and everything. I don't have too many things to be thankful for right now. But looking up to the future, what's going on. But I do have things in the outward things to be thankful for.
Amen.
We're going to have some food. We're going to get to thank the Lord for it. And we're all going to be filled today. And we'll get to eat his word today and have some enjoyment today. Fellowship with one another. And I can be thankful for that. But the things that we can be thankful for. for all things is that Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Amen.
That through him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we fall into sin in our lives and we kind of get discouraged. And we remember 1 John 1:9, we go back and we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, we stay right there, we confess our sins, and we say, well, Lord, you know, the Lord's faithful to forgive us, but we don't give thanks unto the Lord that he has forgiven us. And we stay in that same down, depressed mood. Here we are forgiven, but we still don't give thanks unto the Lord. You know, in Romans, Paul talked about that. I think it's Romans 6, chapter 7, verse 24. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, Paul knew he was a wretched man. He knew he was living for the Lord, a lot better than any of us, but he actually knew that he was a wretched man in God's eyes. As Daniel saw himself, as all of his things that he did, he prayed to the Lord and served the Lord and went faithful and was delivered out of the lion's den, and he stood for the Lord. But when the Lord came upon him, he saw all of his things that he did, all his comeliness, was turning to corruption. You know, and Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, he confessed his sins, but he went on. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You know, Paul could thank the Lord for what he had. You know, in Colossians, that's what he's talking about right here. At verse 15, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
You know, my state may not always be up far and living for the Lord. Well, I mean, Job preached on standing in state. And my standing is that I'm always going to receive redemption, Jesus Christ, no matter what.
Amen.
And I think I got that right. Okay. But anyway, I thank God that I have redemption in Christ.
Amen.
I can receive forgiveness of sins, and that I can give thanks for one thing and be positive that Jesus Christ never lives. He's always going to make intercession for me.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord for that. I think that he's translated me into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
You know, no one had to come to God and ask him to provide salvation for us. God had it planned out, you know. And I thank God that he showed me his word and showed me that I could be saved through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm glad that I can be thankful, no matter what else is going on in this world, I can be thankful for that I have redemption in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Like you said, we're forgiven, 1 John 1:9, no matter what we've done. And we can claim that promise. But Billy shared something to me in some weeks before I left, and a blessing over and over and over in my life. I'm going to share it with you again. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we come. God is greater than our heart, no matter what we do, no matter how many times we fail over and over and over, he's still greater than our heart. And no matter what, we're forgiven, and we didn't forgive ourselves. God is greater than our heart.
Amen.
And then in Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that's always, in all things. Sometimes in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, but the Lord and make well. It's just going to work together for our good. But we also need to say to rejoice in the Lord always, and take Romans 8:28 along with it, and rejoice in those things that are.
Amen.
I get up quick now. Then. Romans 3 and verse 24. There's different things being said about this morning. There's redemption and there's praising and different aspects this morning. But look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, it says we are justified freely. There's a thing in man that just makes everything go sour sometimes, and that's called pride. Pride of man, he can give and give and give. You can ask him to do things. You can ask him to sit in a Sunday school class, teach it, or to give missions or something. But when you ask him, or you say, do you want to have Christ? Do you want to say there? They don't want you to humiliate them. They want you, me, a sinner? You've got to be kidding. I'm not as bad as that guy. Well, we didn't ask if you were bad as that guy. We asked you, do you want Christ? Pride of man does not want to be humiliated. We've got to realize, the lost person's got to realize that salvation is free. It's not earned. You can't win it. You just ask for it. In Ephesians 2:8-9, so many people fall short because they think they got to win or earn their salvation. They just don't read the word. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn Christ. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn the riches that God has up in heaven for you. One of the greatest spiritual blessings of a lost man that becomes a saved man is before he becomes saved, he's got to realize that he's destitute, and so as a saved man, we're destitute. We're nothing. If we're lost, God is apart from us. We cannot communicate with God. We've got to realize that we're destitute. We've got to come to Him through Christ. We've got to come to the point to realize that unless we break that pride, unless we break, amen, break that barrier that we have between God, God can't do anything with us. We're just two, like a tree. You've got to stick over here and stick over here. They have nothing in common. You've got to break the pride. You have to come to the point. God's powerless unless you break that pride. If we have pride in our lives, as long as we have pride, as long as a lost person has pride in his life, as long as he says, I'm not as bad as this guy, and he goes out Fridays and Saturdays, I should go out Fridays, or, you know, things like that, if he's got his pride, God can't work in his life. But also, in the Christian realm, the pride is still there sometimes. We've got to break that pride as a Christian. The pride does not go away once you become saved. Your pride is in you the whole time. If you have pride for God, God can't work in your life as a Christian. You've got to say, pride, get down, God, control my life. I've got to work for God. I've got to do this. The Lord wants me to go out witnessing. The Lord wants me to do this. The Lord wants me to do this. Pride, get away. You're no good. You're of the flesh. The flesh does not work with the Spirit. The Spirit works by itself. Amen.
Well, much of what's been being said is about belief, about redemption, about thanksgiving. And I think it leads up very well back to Genesis 3.
He's better than I am.
You're going to go up to Genesis. That's the book of beginning.
Amen.
There's the seed plot.
Amen.
You know, I really do admonish you and admonish myself to get very familiar with the book of Genesis.
Amen.
Really, really. It's not just put there as the first book in the Bible for anything.
No. Amen.
And really, if one understands Genesis, you can it unfolds the rest of the Bible for you.
Amen.
The book of Genesis probably has every doctrine that's mentioned in the scripture is found in Genesis. It's found at least in its germ form, and then is developed throughout the rest of the scripture. Well, we've been going through Genesis by God's grace, and been looking at each portion, each section, been taking them up, and we've talked about again. I just very quickly just go over verses 1-5. We had the temptation of the serpent, and then verses 6-7. We had the fall of the woman and the man, and then verses 8-13. We had the appearance of the Lord God, and then in verses 14-19, we had the pronouncement of the curse. Now, verse 20, we have the faith of Adam. We have the faith of Adam. I'd like to take up two divisions today, this morning, and really, there's only a verse each to each one of them, so it's not that very long. But I think there's tremendous truth found in each verse. Now, in the next section, which we're going to look at, the faith of Adam, let's read verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Well, that seems like an astounding statement to be said right after God says, sweat, there's going to be sorrow and sweat in your life and death and your dust. And, I mean, God just gives out the curse to him and so forth. And all at once, out of the midst of all this, he comes out and he says, Adam says, he called his wife's name Eve. Now, Eve means living or life giving. And he says, because she was the mother of all living. What in the world would give the title to Eve that she's the mother of all living? Why, she's the one through which through the curse came. She's the one through which the fall came. What in the world would ever be able to give her that tremendous title of the mother of all living? Amen. Look at verse 16. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception and sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Why? As much as the curse affected her just as much as Adam. There was nothing with the woman in which he can say that she's the mother of all living. Why or how could Adam call her the mother of all living? And you know, there's an interesting point here. And it's one that we would well, as soul winners, to realize as we deal with people and try to win people to Christ. You know, Adam doesn't make this statement until the curse, after the pronouncement of the curse. After, you know, when God said, began to deal with him, you remember over there when the appearance of the Lord God, where he appeared and begins to deal, where art thou? What hast thou done? He's still trying to justify himself before God. He says, well, it's the woman you gave. And he's still trying to judge. But when God, out of the mouth of God, comes the pronouncement of the curse, and he realizes his doom, and his hopelessness, and his helpless situation, then he makes this statement. Because you know, many times men will never realize their need of salvation until they realize the curse that's upon them.
That's right.
And the doom of which they're headed. Then it becomes real. Then it becomes, whoa, I need a way out.
Amen.
You know, the woman, you remember the parable of the lost coin? She didn't start looking for that coin until she realized she lost it, did she? She had 10 coins, and she lost one, but she didn't go around, she didn't start sweeping until she realized she lost that one. And when a person realizes he lost, and he hears the pronouncement from the lips of God of the curse, thou art the guilty one. Whoa, he says, Now I need some. I realize I have a need. Well, Adam realized he had a need. But you know, he found no hope with himself. And you know what's another beautiful thing about this passage? Notice that Adam called his wife. What was it within Eve that he was able to call the mother of all living? Verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first prophecy of the Savior. The first prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ when the fall comes in. The first prophecy given here, you know what made her the mother of all living? It was the seed. The seed of the woman. And you know what's the beautiful thing about this all? Where we can see the wondrous grace of God? Through the woman, and not through Adam again. Did you notice that? It's not the seed of Adam, it's the seed of the woman.
That's right.
The weaker vessel. It's through the woman who was tempted and fell and made her husband fall. who worked on her husband then. Through that one, God gives the promise of the coming seed. And through her was the conqueror who would crush the head of the serpent.
Amen.
But you know, there was although the head of the serpent was crushed, and although redemption for man is found, the first promise of hope and redemption is found in verse 15 for man, you know there was a cost. It says that the Lord Jesus' heel was going to be bruised. There was a cost. God spared not his son. Christ died. Christ suffered and must needs have suffered. Remember he said that? So that brings us to the point. You say, well, Brother Joe, how do you see faith in him? Well, I might ask how you don't see it. Because look at that. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Why do I say this is the faith of Adam? Because he heard from the word of God, he heard the Lord say that through her was going to come a seed, and this seed, through this seed was going to crush the very one who brought in the fall, the serpent. This one was going to conquer the one who was the cause of it all. Through her seed was going to be the conqueror and the victor, and for him, that meant redemption. For him, that meant a hope. For him, that was a promise. And you know what? He believed God. And just one verse to go along with that. Romans chapter 4. And this, I think it's this verse, these two verses here, speak of what is faith. Romans chapter 4, speaking of Abraham in verse 20 and 21, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, what hope did Adam have after he heard the curse pronounced upon him? What hope did he have? He had one hope. You know what it was? The promise of God. That the seed of the woman was one day going to stamp out. That's all he had. Listen, from outwardly circumstances, he had nothing else. He realized within himself hope and doom. But you know what? When God gave that promise, that was good enough for Adam. And when Abraham has it, it says, notice Abraham's faith. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He believed the promise of God. Notice what it says here. Being strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. You know what faith is sometimes? It's saying, amen, Lord.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You said it. And that's enough. Praise the Lord. He was able, like Abraham was able to do it, Adam was able to do it, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to do it. If God has spoken it, that's good enough. And notice verse 21. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The three words that start with a P there. Three words that start with a P. Notice the first one. And being fully persuaded.
Amen.
He was fully persuaded. Now notice, how can he be fully persuaded? How can Abraham be fully persuaded? Why? You know, it's presumption. You know, if a man was to say, America will never fall by communism, that's presumption. That's presumption. But I'll tell you what, when a man says, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be saved, that's faith.
Amen.
Why? Because God said it. God never said communism would not take over America. But God did say, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That's faith. Faith is to take God at his word.
Amen.
And he was fully persuaded. How can a man be fully persuaded? If God's spoken, brethren, that's enough. What he says will come about. Well, notice what? Notice the second thing. What he had promised. And being fully persuaded what he had promised. If God gives the promise, it's as good as done. If God gave the promise, it's as good as accomplished. And then notice the last thing. He was able also to perform.
Amen.
What God promises, he is able also to perform. We're not able to perform his promise, but the promise he gives, he's able to perform.
Amen.
He's able to perform it. And that, you know, that's what faith is. To be able to take God at his word and believe he was able to perform it and to claim that promise before God. That's faith. That's faith. Because we're resting on the word of God. We're resting from what God has said. You know, maybe a little illustration might help a little bit. No, say one of you had some land. One of you had some land, you know. Well, didn't have some. You wanted to buy some land. You wanted to get some land. And you knew the guy who had the land, and he was willing to sell it. And you went up to that guy, and you talked to him and stuff, and he said, well, he'll think about it. And so you're sitting at home, and one day a guy comes in. A guy comes over, one of your friends, and he says, you know what, so-and-so, I believe you're going to get that. I believe so-and-so really likes you, and I think you have a real... you have a real good opportunity for getting that land. You know, that lifts up your hopes. You know, I might get that land. And then another guy comes around, he says, you don't got a chance. You don't got a chance for that land because, you know, the squire who you want that land off of, well, he has a cousin who wants that land also. You don't got a chance. You know, and all of us, he's down. And he's up and he's down. Well, you know, there's nothing on which he can base whether he's going to get that land. Well, one day he goes out to the mailbox and he opens up the mailbox and there's a letter from the squire. And he opens up that letter and you know, a little sweat on, and he opens up and he begins to read it and it says, you know, I've decided that you are the one who's going to get it. Now, at that moment, that man can rest. Why?
That's right.
Because he got the word from the one who the Lamb belongs to.
Amen.
Amen. Now he can rest.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what faith is. That's basically, you know, what it comes down to. We got the word here. We got the word of the one who gives the promise.
Amen.
And he's able to perform those promises. What he promises, it's as sure. It's the sure word of God. And you know, that's what faith is. Well, let's go back to Genesis 3. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Because through her was going to come the seed.
The seed,
which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the conqueror over the serpent, and who is the Savior and the Redeemer. Now notice the response of the Lord to Adam's faith, in which we find the next division in verse 21, and I'm going to very quickly go over this one, but it's very important, and that is the provision of a covenant. In verse 21, we have the provision of a covenant. Notice, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats and clothes. Do you remember back in verse 7, after they fell and they realized they were naked, remember what they did? They sewed themselves fig leaves. That's their own effort. See, they made those by their own effort. And they put those aprons on. But then when the Lord God stepped into the cool of the garden, remember what they said? I was afraid because I was naked. Remember those coverings? Those coverings were ineffectual. Why were those coverings ineffectual? Because they made it. Because man made it. And it was through their own efforts. But you know, these coverings right here, which God provided, these coverings are effectual. They're effective. They work. You know why? Because God made them.
Amen.
Because God made them. And notice what they were founded upon. Bloodshed. Bloodshed. It says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothing. Where did God get these coats of skin? Got them from a lamb. Billy was bringing up it says that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was a lamb slain. You know where God got those coats of skin? A lamb had to die. Blood had to be shed. And those coats had to be taken off that lamb and put on Adam. And you know, that in a miniature we find here in this verse, the plan of redemption. The plan of redemption, which is through the shedding of the blood of a substitutionary victim. You know, one had to die. You know, it says over there, it says you have to redeem an ass. And it says, listen, if you don't redeem that ass, the ass is next going to be broken. In other words, and he said that now the way you redeem that ass is the lamb has to die. And that's a picture of us. We're the ass. I said that to a guy on the street. I was witnessing to him and I said, thou art the ass. Anyway.
yeah.
Well, it's true. We are the ass. And you know, either our neck gets broke or the lamb gets slain. One of the two. One has to die. Either Adam and Eve dies or the lamb dies in their place. You know, either we die or Christ dies. And we have to accept that death, that he died for us in our place. That he died for us. And you know, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Those fig leaves and those aprons they made, it was no blood. There's no blood. But here, in the coats of skin, there was bloodshed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no salvation, there's no pardon, there's no forgiveness of sins outside the shedding of blood. In whom we have redemption? Through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. If you got a translation that takes out through his blood, you got the devil's translation.
Right.
You got the wrong one. And all these translations take out through his blood. You know? And so, we find here unto Adam, also unto his wife, that the Lord God make coats of skin and clothing. Well, I'm going to end, I guess, with just very quickly, I think. Well, let me just bring up this point, and I have three crossroads. I just went over them. I'm not going to comment on them much. All right?
Much.
But no.
Hey, we have it done.
Amen. I want you to notice something. This is a happy reunion. I want you to notice something here. It says he made coats of skins. And I praise God he didn't make one coat of skin.
Amen.
You know, could you imagine if he made one and he said, okay, who's going to get it? Well, I tell you what, if you wanted to see a man and a woman go at it, boy, I tell you what, they would have been fighting down at the whole corral that night, boy. Who's going to get the coat of skin? But you know, praise God, he made coats of skins.
Amen.
And notice, he not only made them, he clothed them. God not only provides salvation, he imparts salvation.
Amen.
He not only provides righteousness, he imputes righteousness.
Amen.
He's the one to do it. But notice, he clothed them. You know what's one of the most happiest things? Number one is that I'm saved. I'm happy about
Amen.
That. But you know what I'm real happy about? I'm not even alone.
Amen.
He clothed them. There was others. And praise God, you know, if I was just the only one saved. Can you imagine that? The only one saying, now I'd be happy about that. And I'd be praising God about that. And I'd be giving glory to God.
Amen.
But you know what? It's so good to be able to do it with others.
Amen.
And you know, Adam and Eve, you know, Adam just got clothed and Eve was just standing over there. He'd been over there, glory to God. And she was not, she couldn't enter it in with him. But you know, boy, when they both got him on, I bet you they were both doing a dance. They were both giving glory to God, praising the Lord. Well, you know, they're both clothed. But you know, you might think I'm stretching this a bit. You might think I'm stretching this about the idea of God putting the coats of skin and clothing them, and that this is, I believe, a picture of the righteousness of God being provided for a sinner, and that we can't clothe our own selves with our own efforts, and that because we can't stand before God, and that we're still naked. But God is the one who provides His righteousness, which He gives freely to the sinner who comes to Christ and believes on Him. Well, I'm going to give three references, and I close. And I said, and that's one is Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah 61:10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation.
Amen.
He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness.
Amen.
As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You know, in Joshua over there, in Zechariah, you know, he had some filthy garments on, it says. He had filthy garments, and then the Lord took those filthy garments on, and he gave him a new set of clothes.
Amen.
And you know, the Lord, you know, if you're lost and dead in trespasses and sins, you got a bunch of filthy garments on. And you know, I work down the rescue mission once in a while. I go down there and preach. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you get down there and you see some of these guys, and I don't know how I'm dressed today, but I see some of those guys, and boy, their clothes are dirty, and the colors don't match, and they haven't had a bath in weeks, some of them, and they stink. Boy, there's some filthy garments on there. But all the Lord wants to take off the filthy garments, I'm talking the spiritual realm now, and he wants to give a new set of clothes.
Amen.
He wants to dress you up in a 3-piece suit.
Amen.
I mean, he wants to deck you out like it says here, right here, like a bridegroom decking himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorning herself with jewels. Did you ever see a rotten-looking bride and a rotten, you know, Phil and Lori, when they were walking up there and they were all decked out, whoo, boy, they look pretty, 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 you know? They look really nice. And you know, that's the Lord wants to dress us up real nice for him. And that ain't talking about coming out here with a suit and a tie. I'm talking about the righteousness of God. That's what he rejoices in. Not some suit and a tie that's just going to perish. Well, two other verses. One over here in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21 and 22. For now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe.
Amen.
There's no difference. We're all the same. I'm sure the glory of God. But you know what a sinner needs? He's unrighteous. He needs righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
And his own righteousness is as filthy rags. His own righteousness. You know what he needs? He needs a righteousness. And the book of Romans speaks about the righteousness of God. God providing what man needs. And man needs not his own righteousness, which is filthy rags. He needs the righteousness of God. And notice how it's by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know exactly what that's all talking about. It might be talking about, you know, that God imparts to us the faith of Christ when we believe on Christ. But, you know, I think maybe that's talking about that dependence on the Lord Jesus, who walked with God in this world, and he went and is obedient even unto the death of the cross. And as a dependent man upon God, he went to the cross and paid the price for our redemption at the cross. I think it's talking about that. I could be wrong. But I think it's talking about, I know this, without the death of Christ, there's no righteousness of God provided. So Christ had to die. Christ had to shed his blood. Christ had to do that in order for the righteousness of God to be able to be given to man. Notice it's unto all and upon all them that believe.
Amen.
What's the condition for you to get it? You know, if you go down to Jonsky's here or something, you say, I want a new set of clothes, and you walk in there and say, well, I just believe you're going to give me them. It'll be believed that you'll be in the jailhouse. You got to give forth money. But I tell you what, here's something you don't have to give no money for, and it's free, and you know how you get it? You believe. What do you believe? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have repentance toward God and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what? God will give you the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And then, of course, one other scripture, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Here's the great transaction verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 21. Got a little longer this morning. I only had two verses.
Yeah.
Why, those other verses, I was able to finish up with that. But okay, the fault is on you.
Amen.
No, the fault's on me. See that? Don't fall a man again. Praise the Lord, I've been redeemed. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here's a great transaction verse. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin.
Amen.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Man.
You know, one time there was this man, and he didn't want to go to war. This is supposed to be a true story. Napoleon, he was supposed to go with Napoleon. And he didn't want to go to war, and he had a friend, and his friend, you know, volunteered to go in his place. And his friend went out in his place. And while the friend was out there fighting in the war, he was slain, he was killed. And you know, they had a second draft, you know, a second round draft. And when the second round draft came, accidentally his name came up again. And this guy, you know, he says, wait a minute. He says, you can't take me. He said, I'm dead. Those guys, he said, you're a madman. You're crazy. What are you talking about? They said, you're dead. He says, yes. He says, I've died on the battlefield out there. And they said, you're nuts. You're nuts. You're not dead. You're alive and well. He said, I'm telling you, look up in your records. You'll see my name in there. I was there. I was killed on the battlefield. And they're looking at him, and finally, you know, I guess he was so much of a nuisance, finally they looked in their books, and sure enough, his name was there. And, you know, they still didn't believe it. They still didn't believe it. They said, now, wait a minute. So finally, they were still going to put him in. He says, I plead to go to the very emperor himself. And he got to go right to the emperor. And he brought it before the emperor. The emperor opened the book, and sure enough, his name was there. And this guy says, listen, he says, I'm dead. He said, the law has no claim on me anymore.
Amen.
The law cannot touch me anymore. And you know, the emperor said, he's right. He's right. His name's in the book. He's dead. He's dead. And you know, brethren, Christ became sin for us who knew no sin.
Amen.
Christ died. Paul says he loved me and he gave himself for me. Christ died for our sin. And on the battlefield there, he died in our place. And those who believe on him, they are made the righteousness of God in him. No longer does the law have a claim on them. And no longer can the law say,
amen,
thou art guilty and amen, thou art the man and now you must die. No longer, because we can just point and say, we've died. We've died. Where did you die? In Christ. In Christ. Because he died, I died. And now as the law no longer had claim on that man, and could no longer condemn that, put that man in the arm, that he'd die again. No, one death was sufficient. We can claim Christ died for me. And because he died, I died, and that death is sufficient. No longer God will ask for a second death. God's not going to recruit again. He's not going out for a second. That debt's enough for him. God has been satisfied. You know, now we've been made. Those who believe on Christ are made the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm 6 years old,
and I got saved, and I'm not worthy to be saved, but you have a lot of
Amen.
First of all, I want to say that these meetings have been blessed, and I'm just sad that they're going to end so soon. Just got one more meeting to go. But, you know, I've had a lot of blessings to share this week, but Billy thought I was taking my verses. But in 2 Corinthians 4, Dad was saying some things last night and really blessed me. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, dying as before Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, I've always been afraid to do any work for the Lord because I was afraid, you know, if I get cast down or persecuted, I never come back up and start doing it again. But you know, he said persecuted but not forsaken. You get persecuted, he'll bring you right back up.
I would like to share something that I told that you said they had what when they made out of their leaves when they're good enough. And I looked at a magazine and I asked my dad why they were in a little pamphlet. And he said they were killed. You're going to get ready to kill them for the coke novel. Cool. My dad said, who killed the person? Who killed the first animal? That really struck me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Last night, we had some visitors that came with Rossi. And after the meeting was over, I went up and asked them how they liked the meeting. And they said, we really liked the meeting. He said, you know, we didn't really want to come because we were afraid it'd be dull. I'm sure there's been a lot of comments from people that have left the meeting for the first time, but I don't think that any of them were dull. I don't think anybody went away and said, man, that was a dull bunch. You know, the reason that they weren't dull last night, and the meetings weren't dull, haven't been dull this week, and the reason, and this is, of course, generally, maybe that once in a while there may be a dull meeting, but the reason is that these are not studies at all. You know, the Bible is a marvelous book.
Amen.
It really is. But in all of the Bible, there's not one single place that talks about a desk. You know, desks are to study. You use desks to study. But all through the Bible, all the way through the Bible, it talks about table.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, did you ever see anybody go to sleep at a table? I've seen a lot of people sleeping at desks. In fact, you know, it's really hard right after lunch. You go to the next period, you know, and what do? You put your head down on the desk and you meditate. You go to sleep. But you know, eating is so enjoyable that people don't go to sleep.
Amen.
And you know, a lot of churches have found the way to get a crowd is to have a dinner. And you know, it's really amazing. You get a lot more people when you feed them than you do when you don't. Isn't that true?
Right.
And the reason for that is that people like to eat. Well, you know, we have really missed out, we really have, on the promises of God. Did you know the first invitation that God ever gave? You know where that is? Who knows where the first invitation from God is? It's in Genesis. Isn't that right, Joe? Look at Genesis 2:17. Look at Genesis 2:17. 16, I'm sorry. 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, listen, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
Amen.
Do you know my God made a man and made a woman and put them in a garden? You know, those go together, don't they? The man and the woman in the garden go together. Well, what would you do in a garden? Now, he didn't tell the man anything about work until after the fall. Before the fall, he said to the man, of the trees in the garden thou mayest freely eat. Man was made for eating. Now, you ought to be ashamed to eat.
Amen.
You know, I feel sorry for these people that are so worried about getting fat that they won't eat. That's a shame, because God made us to eat.
Amen.
That's the reason that God gave us a mouth and he gave us a stomach. He made us to eat. And the reason he made so many good things around to eat is that that's what he made us for. He made us to eat. Now, it's not just there by accident that God told man of all of these trees he could freely eat. Because you see, this is representative of all that God has given us spiritually. This book is not to be read primarily for the head, but rather for the spirit.
Amen.
We have a spirit that's hungry.
Amen.
We have a spirit that needs to be satisfied, and the way you get satisfied is not through the intellect.
Right.
The reason that most church meetings are so boring is because they're trying to deal with you through the intellect, trying to deal with you through the mind. And you can't get satisfied if you just sit and look at the food. You have to eat it.
Amen.
You can study about food all you want to. You can have the most beautiful pictures of food that's ever been taken. And you can look upon this food. You can even have the real thing. And you can smell it. You can dissect it. And you can talk about it. But until you put it in your mouth, you're never going to be satisfied. Food is to eat. And the word of God is to eat.
Amen.
And you know, it's all the way through the word. This is not just the initial thing. As Joe said, this is just a seed plot. And God takes this garden and he sows the seed in Genesis. And then all the way through the Bible, he talks about eating. Did you ever just look in your concordance under the word eat? I don't know for sure if it's in every book in the Bible, but it's in every section of the Bible. There's not one section in the Bible that doesn't have eating in it. All the way through the Bible. It's a book of eating. Let's look at some of the things. In Exodus 12, you see, man didn't eat. God invited man to eat, but of the right thing. He said, now, here are all the trees in the garden, and you can eat of all of these trees but one, and only one tree was forbidden. Only one tree was forbidden, and man, instead of eating of all of those beautiful trees that God had given him, chose, rather, to eat of the forbidden fruit, and because of that, sin came. Now then, man has gotten into trouble by disobeying God. He's fallen into sin. Now, how is God going to redeem him? How is God going to get him back? How is God going to save man after he's fallen into sin? You know how he does it? It's amazing. By eating. Look in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Now, God said,